This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with the series called 40 Days in the Word. In these lessons, Rick teaches us what it means to not just be hearers of the Word, but also doers of the Word. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get the DVD study kit of this great series. And you can take a sneak peek at this valuable tool by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called How to Study a Bible Passage.
All right, I want you to take your Bible and you open it to Philippians chapter 2 and take your message notes, and let's go through these four steps. What does it say? What does it mean? What else in the Bible says something about it? And what am I going to do about it? First, we start with observation. What does it say? Now, what I would do is I would simply look at this. I would read it through several times, and I would just write down what I see. It's not anything fancy, it's just whatever I see. And I see three things in this passage. You might write them down. First, I observe that Paul intends to send two men to Philippi. Okay? Paul intended to send two men to Philippi. And that's just an observation. There's nothing fancy about it, nothing spiritual, it's just that's what I see. And in verse 19, he says, I hope to send you Timothy. There's one of the guys. And in verse 25, he says, I think it's necessary to send Epaphroditus back to you. He actually came from that church. I'm going to send him back home. So I'm going to send two guys to you, Timothy and Epaphroditus. The second thing I observe is that Paul endorsed these guys as role models. In fact, they're role models who deserve honor. Paul endorsed Timothy and Epaphroditus as role models who deserve honor. In verse 20, Paul says about Timothy, he says, I have no one else like him. Now, you might just read that and just jump all over it. But friends, that is the greatest endorsement you could ever receive as a Christian. Paul is the greatest Christian who's ever lived next to Jesus Christ, our Lord himself. And Paul says, I've got nobody in the world like Timothy. If Paul said that about you, that means you're at the top of the heap. You're on the A-list. You're the very best Christian he knows. If Paul said about you, I've got nobody else like Bob or Janet or Mary, I've got nobody else like Kristen. That would be the greatest possible compliment you could ever receive for your faith. So this is not a small issue here. Now I got to pay attention. He says, I got nobody like Timothy. And then about Epaphroditus, he says, verse 29, welcome him and honor men like him. Honor men like him. So he's saying, whatever these guys are doing, they are worthy of honor. You need to follow them, and you need to honor them. Now notice both of them, he says, like him. See, circle that phrase twice. Anytime you see a phrase used twice in Scripture, it means God's telling you something. I have nobody else like him, Timothy. Honor men like him, Epaphroditus. Now that naturally makes me ask the third observation question, and that is, so what are these guys like? I mean, why are they so special? Why are they worthy of honor? Why do they deserve to be praised? What are these guys actually doing in their lives that make them so special? And so I would ask that question. And then I would read through the passage again, and I find that Paul, from observation, I see, Paul says five things about these guys. Now, I already wrote them down there on your outline. In verse 20 and 21, he says about Timothy, he takes a genuine interest in you. In verse 22, he says about Timothy, he has proved himself. In verse 25, he says about Epaphroditus, he's my brother, my fellow worker, and my fellow soldier. I got to figure out what that means. And in verse 26, he says, he longs for all of you, and he is distressed, this guy Epaphroditus. And in verse 27 to 30, it says, he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life. Now, see what I've done? All I've done is I read it, and I wrote down what I saw. Paul's talking about two guys. He's going to send them back to Philippi. He endorses them as role models, and he says we ought to honor them. And these guys have five characteristics in their lives. Okay? That's observation. Now we go to interpretation. What does it mean? This passage is an extremely powerful passage because it gives us the five marks of what it means to be a man of God. The five marks of what it means to be a godly man, or for that matter, a godly woman. If you want to be the kind of person God blesses, if you want God to use you, if you want God's power in your life, you better study this passage. Because it tells us the five characteristics of the man of God, or woman of God, for that matter, that we see in these guys that we're to build into our lives, we're to be like them, and we're to honor others like them. So now let's go back and let's look at the five things we observed and say, what does it actually mean? Let's look at it in detail. Verse 21, we find the first characteristic. Paul says about Timothy, I have no one else like him. Why is nobody else like him? Because he takes a genuine interest in your welfare, and everybody else only looks out for their own interest. He said, that's rare. That's unusual. That's different. I got nobody like him. He has a genuine interest in your welfare, and nobody else does that. They all look out at their own interest. Now, one of the ways you interpret Scripture is by comparing it to other translations. And in English, fortunately, we have dozens of translations of the Bible. You say, why do we need so many different translations? Because no single word adequately can explain another word in another language. Often it takes a phrase to explain a word. For instance, the Bible is written in over 11,000 Hebrew and Greek words. But the average English translation, no matter which one you've got, uses only about 8,000 English words. That means something is getting left out in the fuller meaning. For instance, in English, we only have one word for love. Love. And we use it to refer everything. I say, I love Jesus Christ. I love my wife. I love popcorn. I love America. You know, I love music. Now, I've just used it, the same word, in multiple different ways. Greek was much more technical, much more precise than that. For instance, in Greek, they have four words for love. Eros, we get erotic love from that, sexual love. Astergo, which means strong love. Phileo, which means brotherly love. Philadelphia is Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And agape, which is unconditional love. And all of these words are used in Scripture. And so they're different words. Well, we only have one word. So you look at different translations. Every translation has an interpretation in it. And so by looking at different translations, you can get a bigger interpretation without having to know any Greek or any Hebrew. That's a good thing. That's the advantage of being somebody who speaks English. So look on the back of your outline. Here are a couple of other translations of this verse. It says, Timothy genuinely cares for you, while others only care about themselves. He said, that's why he's worthy of honor. And the Phillips translation says, they're all wrapped up in their own affairs. So here we have the first characteristic of a godly man. Write this down. A godly man is caring.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Is it enough to just love the Word and to learn the Word? Pastor Rick Warren says no. If we want to see lasting changes and real growth in our lives, we've got to live the Word too. That's why Rick created the 40 Days in the Word Study Kit. This kit includes 6 video sessions on DVD and a 206-page, 2-color workbook. In the workbook, you'll find 6 easy-to-learn methods for reading and meditating on Scripture. These are the very methods that Pastor Rick uses in his own personal daily quiet time. You'll also find a personal 40 Days in the Word journal and Bible verse memorization cards with the 20 Bible verses every believer should memorize. There's even a special section called How We Can Know the Bible Came from God, and a guide for choosing which translation of the Bible is right for you. We'll send you a copy of the 40 Days in the Word study kit as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or 800-600-5004. Thank you so much for your support.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Rick.
So here we have the first characteristic of a godly man. Write this down. A godly man is caring. A godly man is compassionate. He's caring. He's unselfish. He thinks about others. He's not just thinking about himself. He's unselfish. He's not self-centered. He is caring. Timothy genuinely cares about you. Everybody else is only interested in their own agenda, their own business, their own things that they've got to do. He said that is worthy of honor. Now, friends, if there's ever a message that's needed today, it's that. Because everything in our culture teaches you to be self-centered, not unselfish. Everything in our culture teaches you to care only about you, not about anybody else. Every advertisement is all about you. You, we do it all for you. Have it your way. You deserve the best. You deserve a break today. Look out for number one. I got to think of what's best for me. No ad is telling you to be unselfish. All music, all movies, all TV shows, novels, magazines, video games are all about you, the consumer. It's not about you helping anybody else. And so, it is rare to find an unselfish man. It's rare. Paul says, I don't have anybody like him who genuinely cares about other people. Everybody else is only caring about themselves. They're not self-ungiving. They're self-centered. Now, you know, I'm going to talk to most of you men today, but as a pastor, I care about the women in our church. And those of you who are single women, I want to protect you, Papa Rick. So I have made a list on how to identify a selfish man before it's too late. Okay. You might want to write this down, all right? How to identify a selfish man before it's too late. Number one, does he only talk about himself? That's a sign. Number two, does he ever open the door for you? Number three, has he ever brought you a meal because he knew you were too busy to eat and he sensed it and you didn't have to tell him? That is a caring person who's more interested in just his own agenda. Number four, does he ever go out of his way to make sure you feel safe? Number five, does he ever ask for your opinion on anything? Number six, does he ever ask you for sex? Now, if he says, if you love me, you'll let me, you say, if you love me, you'll wait. Okay? By the way, women, you just need to understand this. Women need a reason for sex. Men just need a place. Okay? Just that's just the way they're wired. You need to understand that. So if he asks you for sex, he's a loser. And if you say no and he pouts, he's a double loser. Run the other way. Okay? Number seven. Will he cancel his plans if you're sick so he can take care of you? That's an unselfish man. Number eight, is he obsessed with his appearance? Number nine, will he do something he doesn't like to do just to be able to spend more time with you? That's an unselfish man. Number 10, does he pick up his messes or expect you to pick them up? Don't elbow anybody right now, please. A godly man is a caring man. Number two, look at the next verse. Second thing we learn about Timothy. It says, Timothy has proved himself. Circle that. Proved himself. Because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. And in the God's Word translation says, you know what kind of person Timothy proved to be. Now, the word proven there means tested. It means verified. It means checked out. It means determined, reliable. This guy is ram tough. This guy is dependable. This guy is reliable. This guy has proven faithful, is what the Bible calls it, faithful. The greatest ability in life is dependability on life. And the number of people who are dependable, who don't flip-flop, who keep their word, who do what they say, who keep their promises even when it hurts them, that's unusual. What is needed today are men who are consistent. That's number two. God is looking for men who are caring, and God is looking for men who are consistent, proven trustworthy, not wishy-washy, dependable, faithful. Keep your word. Men of conviction and character. You know the difference between conviction and an opinion? An opinion is something you'll argue about. A conviction is something you'll die for. Do you have any conviction in your life? You are not ready to live until you know what you're willing to die for. Are you willing to die for anything? Until you know and have made that list of, I would die for this, and I would die for this, and I would die for this. You're not living, you're just existing. God is looking for consistent men. Godly men are not just caring, they are consistent. They are proven reliable. They are committed to God's standard, and they're consistent in their values. They don't act this way with one group of people, and this way with another group of people, and this way with another group of people. They're not flimsy where they're moody. This way, they're this day, and another day, they're this way. I remember a kid telling me one time, growing up, I never knew my dad was going to hug me or slug me. He was moody. He wasn't consistent, which means he was not a godly man. Now, it's a trite cliche, but it's true. If you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. A godly man is caring. He doesn't just care about his own agenda. He cares about other people. And a godly man is consistent. He's proven reliable. Number three, next verse. He said, I sent back to you Epaphroditus, my brother and my fellow worker and my fellow soldier. And he gives us three metaphors here that are relational. Brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier. He said he's also your messenger because you sent him to me to take care of my needs. You sent him to bring me good word of you. Now, each of these three metaphors have something in common. And what they have in common is cooperation. I want you to write this down. A godly man is cooperative. He said, he's my brother, he's my fellow worker, and he's my fellow soldier. Why? Because the Christian life is a family, it's a fellowship, and it's a fight. First, we are a family. He says, he's my brother. We're related. Did you know that the phrase brother and sister is used about 133 times in the Bible to refer to Christians? For thousands of years, church members always referred to each other as brothers and sisters. Brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. There's brother Tom and there's sister Jane and there's brother this. And that, I actually think that's a good thing. It might be a good thing to bring back because the church is a family, not an institution. The Bible tells us in Scripture that we are to treat older women in the church as mothers. We are to treat older men in the church as fathers. We are to treat the younger men in the church as brothers. And we are to treat the younger women in the church as sisters. Why? Because we're a family. We're children in God's family. And we are brothers and sisters. And there is a relationship there. And not only we're a family, we're a fellowship. We're fellow workers. That means we have the same task, the same mission, the same great commission. We're to work together. We're to serve together. We're fellow workers. And then not only that, we're co-laborers in arms. We're comrades in arms. We are fellow soldiers because we have the same battle. We got the same enemy, Satan. So we support each other. We encourage each other. That's why we have small groups, because we're in this together. A godly man is cooperative. When you see a guy who goes, I don't need anybody else. I'm a lone ranger. He's not a godly man. When you see somebody who says, I don't really need to go to church. I don't need a small group. I don't need anybody else. He's proving that he doesn't know how much he needs what he needs. because nobody has it all together. We need each other. You have strengths that I need, I have strengths that you need, and we need each other. And godly men cooperate. They're not lone rangers. They're not difficult to get along with. They know how to be on a team. They're team players. They know how to work. They know how to give and take. And in business, guys will pay maximum bucks for people who have relational skills. Guys who have team member mentality, who know how to play on a team, who are not the independent jerks who just go off and do their own thing. Now, Paul, of all people, is a superstar, spiritual superstar. And yet even he knows we're better together, that we get more done when we work together. He recognizes that we need each other. And a godly man knows how to work with others, knows how to be a team player, isn't difficult. He's relationally cooperative. He's caring. He notices other people's needs, not just his own. He's consistent. You can count on him to keep his word. And he is cooperative. Number four, look at the next thing. In verse 26, it talks about Epaphroditus, and it says, "For he," Epaphroditus, "longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill." Now notice, this is the emotional content. What's going on here? Here's a church over here in Greece called the Church at Philippi that's started by Paul. Paul's in prison in Rome in Italy. They take up a love offering to send to Paul. And then they say, "We need somebody to take it." One of the businessmen in the church, Epaphroditus, goes, "I'll do it."
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. If you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, just go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back in a moment to close out our time today, but first, is it enough to just love the Word and learn the Word? Pastor Rick Warren says, no. If we want to see lasting changes and real growth in our lives, we've got to live the Word too. That's why Rick created a tool called the 40 Days in the Word Study Kit. This kit includes 6 video sessions on DVD and a 206-page 2-color workbook. In the workbook, you'll find 6 easy-to-learn methods for reading and meditating on Scripture. These are the very methods that Pastor Rick uses in his own personal daily quiet time. You'll also find a personal 40 Days in the Word journal and Bible verse memorization cards with 20 Bible verses every believer should memorize. There's even a special section called How You Can Know the Bible Came from God and a guide for choosing which translation of the Bible is right for you. We'll send you a copy of the 40 Days in the Word Study Kit as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or 800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. Here's Rick to tell you how God is using this broadcast to change lives.
Today, I want to share a note that we received from Amy. God is using Daily Hope to help her understand how to apply the Bible to her own life so she can pass on those skills to her daughter. Amy wrote this to me. "Thanks, Pastor Rick, for being you. I love your sermons. You speak in a way that I can understand, and I'm grateful that I've found you. I recently purchased 40 Days in the Word, and my husband and I are going to do it together. I'm so excited to get to know the Word of God and apply it to my life. When my mother died 10 years ago, I was 29 years old, and I've been lost at sea ever since. I didn't know what to do in my life, and I had nobody to guide me. I finally realized that the Bible tells us how to live our lives, and I want to get to know it inside and out so I can pass that on to my daughter. Much love from Texas." Well, thanks so much for writing, Amy. I'm really glad that you discovered all the giant rewards of learning and applying the Word of God to your life. You know, I'm excited that you're passing on what you're learning to your daughter. This is an important thing. We actually grow more by passing it on to others. And I'm sure her life will be blessed through your faithfulness. So let me ask all of you who are listening right now, who can you share God's Word with? Would you pray about it? And when you share Daily Hope with them, would you let me know what happens? I'd love to hear that story. Write to me, rick@pastorrick.com.
Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.